Let's get started. We'll see if others join us. We anticipate this being a smaller session, a little less key, low key. Get it? We may do a key change. You see that? Okay. Yeah, yeah. We're on page 33 in our notes. By quick raise of hand, how many of you are the song leader in your church? How many of you are the song leader in your church because nobody else will do it? Yeah, that's usually how it goes. How many of you are a song leader in church because it's a passion, you enjoy it, you just enjoy singing and music, okay? How many of you are in the room because your pastor told you to come today? Yeah. You are the reason this session exists, I'll be honest. Months ago, back last November, we met with Pastor Allen, a group of men, and said, okay, guys, what do we teach? And it was Pastor Opferman who said, we need a session about song leading. And all the pastors were in the room. Yeah, that'd be good. Song leading. And okay, who's going to teach it? And nobody raised their hand. And we all volunteered. Brother Lael, of course, the song leader here, and he's a wonderful music man, plays the piano, sings, leads music. And Pastor Allen said, well, I think he's doing some other things. So I don't know how my name got put on the list. I enjoy music. I love singing. I don't sing great, okay? So music is not all about the voice. Music's about the heart. And it's the simple truth. So if you hear things that don't sound right coming out by the tone and quality, just know the heart is right, okay? But we'll talk about song leading today and try to use this session to be practical and helpful. At any point, please feel free to interact or raise a hand or stomp a foot or do something to ask a question. I want this to be helpful. Some scripture here in your notes just to start, and I think it's important that we base everything from the Word of God. Of course, Ephesians chapter 5, 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody where? In your heart to the Lord. And music ought to be within us. God made us musical beings. He put it inside of us. What's the Bible say? He hath put a new song in my heart, even a song of praise. Psalm 149, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Here we find that psalmist writing about congregational singing. Sing in the congregation of the saints. It's good to sing in the shower, good to sing in the car, good to sing by yourself, but there's something about the congregation of the saints and getting people to sing. You know, one of the hallmarks of the traditional church, and by traditional, I'm talking historical, Bible-believing, traditional church that honors the Lord, is the music. It's the congregational singing. Conversely, look at modern trends of churches, and this is across the board of denomination and stage, but one of the trends of the modern church, and I think it's a negative trend, is we've taken the congregation out of the worship and out of the singing, and we replace with modern, whether it be the worship bands or the teams or the front line. And I'm not against getting people singing. That's not the point of this discussion. But I'll tell you that when you put the performance up front, you take the heart and the congregation out of the service. And I think that's a mistake. I think there's something about getting people to sing. Hebrews 12, verse 2, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Again, we find congregational singing. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. I tell our church people all the time, I said, if you would show up a couple hours before a Sunday morning service, some of you would never want to come back. You'd be horrified. One of my favorite things to do, I get to the church early, and very early on Sunday mornings on purpose, and I've got a routine of things. I pray and and prepare for the service and the sermon and all of that. But one of my favorite things is I take the auditorium when it's just a couple lights I'll turn on, and sometimes I'll just sit and sing. Sometimes I'll sit at a piano. I don't play very well, but I like to make music so I can you know make sound like that. I'll play a few songs. I've got a trumpet that I can play or a guitar that I'll play. And I just like making music. And some of the best revivals are when no one else is around. And the neighbors, I think, get scared when they hear the sounds coming out of the church because I'm not afraid to get loud and I have a time. But when the congregation comes in, I want that same music, that same message to affect, to influence people. All right, some introduction, and here's some things we can write down. The goal of the song leader is to cultivate an atmosphere. The goal of the song leader is to cultivate an atmosphere. What we want to do is invite people into the presence of God to sing. The command all through the scripture, especially in the Psalms, sing unto the Lord. Give your heart to the Lord. Make melody and music to the Lord. We want to bring people into the presence of God to sing. Just like the pastor wants to bring people into the presence of God through the ministry of the Word of God, the song leader has an equal responsibility. It's an equal responsibility. I think the preaching preeminent, but an equal responsibility of the song leader to bring people into the worship and the presence of God through music and song. The song leader shouldn't be a one-man band. Shouldn't just be everybody listen to me, and it shouldn't just be a monotonous, all right, here's the first verse, everybody sing, now sit down, pastor, you come and talk for a while, all right, everybody, let's sing two verses, and now come give the announcements, and then come, and then we just go through a flow, and we never really, music in your church, especially the congregation, it's not a time filler, it's not something we do just to, well, we've got to take up an extra 10 minutes or people will feel they didn't get their fill. There's a purpose. How would you like it if the pastor came up and said, all right, folks, all we're going to do today, I don't really have a whole lot. Let's just read 4 or 5 verses. All right, now, anyone got a blessing? Let me just read a few more here. And never really preach the Word of God, but he read it. You would say, well, come on, pastor, you're failing us. We need to be fed, right? What is it when the song leader comes and says, well, let's just sing a few verses and we never really think about what we're singing. Amen. We never create that atmosphere of, Brother Lael this morning, we're going to sing, How Great Thou Art. Oh my goodness, we've got to lift our voice and declare the glory of God. How great thou art. Now there's a lot of ways we can do it mechanically and physically and you know, through the method of leading singing, but the reason we're cultivating an atmosphere. Number two there, as Christians, we want an atmosphere conducive for worship. Okay, I know a lot of times we get afraid of that word worship. I recognize in our style of churches primarily, we would not consider ourselves praise and worship, okay, churches. But worship's not a bad word. In fact, it's a biblical word. And a praise and worship's not a bad thing. I understand there's a whole vein of churches that have kind of taken that into their own atmosphere. By distinction, we don't use that often in our service. But understand what worship is. It's the fellowship and interaction with God. Isaiah says in Isaiah 6, then I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and I cried, holy, holy, holy. His train filled the temple, and when Isaiah saw the Lord, he worshiped him high. And then what did Isaiah do? He said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. In other words, God got big, Isaiah got little. What does true worship do? It makes God big, it makes man little. What an atmosphere to create before the preaching, would you agree? We need to invite people to a big God, little man. Little man. It's not about us. Yeah. Number three, our worship is of the Lord, not of man. And these all flow together. Our worship is of the Lord, not of man. If you and I are the primary figure of worship when it comes to the music, we're failing. It's not about us. I hope that you have excellence in your music as far as we're prepared. The other week we had a Sunday night service and we were missing half our musicians. We've got usually a piano and we've got two violins. We've got a flute. We've got the cello. We've got the big cello, we got a deeper cello. It's like a bass cello. And then we've got some strings. And then we've got, we've got usually 8 or 9 different people playing. And this Sunday night, we had one violin and one cello. One clarinet. And that was it. Not great to lead music to. And then, of all things, we chose songs that were brand new. We'd never sung before, but we were going to try them. Yeah, we tried them and we flopped. And literally halfway through the song, that's good. And people are laughing over here. You know, it's a Sunday night service. Good attempt. But the truth is, it's not about us. If we look silly, that's okay. We're flesh. Pastors are going to look silly at times. Musicians are look silly at times. It's okay. If our pride gets in the way, we're doing it wrong. But if we also fail to give God the glory, we're doing it wrong. It's all about Him. Lastly, congregational singing should bring unity to the service. Why do we have congregational singing? One of the reasons is to bring the unity to the service. Okay? Think about this, especially a Sunday morning. You've got a whole congregation. People are coming in. It doesn't matter the size of your church. You might have 20 people in the service. You might have 200 people or more. The size doesn't matter, but people are scattered. Maybe they're coming from Sunday school. Maybe they're coming from just getting up in the morning. Maybe kids are running off, you know, to junior church, and mom's trying to find out where's the diaper bag for the nursery. And we got people just all... And what the music needs to do is put everything else outside and bring us together in the unity of the body of Christ. This is why we'll use phrases like, let's all stand together and everybody lift your voice. And then we're going to bring people to prepare to follow what's going on at the pulpit, right? We're going to start with verse number 1, and then we're going to just the ladies sing the chorus, men come in on the refrain. Then verse number 2, drop the instruments out, and we're leading because we're bringing unity, and people are now equipped to follow. Because what's going to happen in a few moments, somebody's going to stand up, and by God's grace, if there's someone that needs to be saved today, I want you to stand up. I want you to come forward. We're already used now to following. We're used to in unity. Let's all pray together. It's powerful when everyone prays. It's also powerful when everyone sings. So we bring unity. All right, let's dive into the topic at hand, some tips for leading singing. And these are things that ought to be helpful for us as a song leader. All right? Put something in the notes. I think it's coming here, but I need to put this in the introduction too. Somewhere else it's got to be in the notes, but this has to be said because I come to this as a pastor. All right, it's who I am. It's my job. I do lead the music at our church right now because I enjoy it, and two, because we're praying that God gives somebody that's going to do it eventually the way that we want it done. But if you're not the pastor, your directions need to come from the pastor, okay? Don't leave here today and say, well, they told me this at the seminar. No, you do what your pastor says, all right? Every pastor is responsible for leading their church according to God's leading, okay? There's no one solid way that says this is the only way. God gives many different ministrations, okay, a lot of different ways of leading. I love Brother Lael. He did a wonderful job this morning leading singing. I would do things a little different because I'm a different person. And you would do things a little different because you're a different person, right? So you follow what the heart of your pastor is. If he wants, I had a very learned, in fact, a PhD in music years ago when I was in California. He came and did a seminar at our church for our choir and musicians and special music. And he knew music. He could play, did all that stuff. And he said he worked his first job out of Bible college. He went to a church, and it was a big church. He says, the pastor, he gave me two words. He says, these are the only two words to dictate our music ministry: fast and loud. That's all he wanted, fast and loud. So this guy learned, that's all we're going to do, fast and loud, and everything. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that created a wretch like me. And it was just bump, blah, blah, blah. And then we're into, to God be the glory, great things he hath done, great thing. And as long as it's loud and it's fast, that's all the pastor cared about. And it was wonderful. Then he goes to another church. He said he spent about 5-6 years with that. And then he moved to another church where the pastor was a lot more nuanced and said, look, I want the first song, I want to get everybody really up. And then the second song, I want it a real relaxed. And he explained the dynamic. He says, but the pastor set the tone, okay? So song leader, your job, follow the heart of your pastor and do it the way that he wants it. Nothing worse, and I could say it from experience, nothing worse than trying to follow. I'm going to come and preach after the congregation just went to a place I never wanted them to go, high or low, okay? It's awful. Find out, pastor, before you preach, what mood do you want? Do you want people, how great thou art, slow, how great thou art? Or do you want the really, how great thou art? You understand there's a difference. Do you want people, love lifted me, love, or do you want the just as I am with? You can take a lot of different moods, so find out what the pastor wants. All right, now let's dive into it. Number A, be a leader. Number one here, the song leader title, be a leader, okay? Doesn't matter your voice. It matters you. You have to be the leader, okay? You control what other people are looking at, what they're going to mimic. Under this, people will do as you do. People will do as you do. Let's try it, okay? All right, everybody follow up here. And let's just pick a song off the top of our head. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still good on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Okay, you're following. We don't even have an instrument here. We don't have a piano. You've got to do what. Find out what you want the people to do, okay? You They will do what you do. A lot of times what I find in churches, okay, and I've grown up in church my whole life. I've been in large churches. I've been in small churches. I've been in churches of thousands of people, hundreds of people, and four people, okay? Every one of them has shown times where the song leader is not the one leading the singing. Sometimes the piano player is leading the singing because the song leader doesn't really know what they're, the piano player reads music. I just wave my hands and hope that it works. If you've got an awesome piano player, I hope that they're a blessing. But the piano player is not responsible for bringing the congregation to sing, okay? I've had piano players that are skilled at high level, laps around me musically. But the job, it just my prep talk is, if you can follow me, we'll be fine.
Amen.
That's it. That's all I care. Now, there's things we'll work on. There's things musically I need to be aware of. I've had other piano players that are really good at maybe just giving a simple chord and one note in the melody. And we're just plodding through. And they look at me and say, I don't know what you want. I can't fill in. And that's okay. The voice is what's going to fill in.
Yeah.
Okay? What you do, people will do. If you stand there, guess what people are going to do? And the joys he shares as he carries in none other. Nobody wants to be the one in the crowd that's heard. You notice that?
Yeah.
Most people are really good. They'll smile if you smile, but if you... Okay, you're going to get a response of people that aren't going to do what you have to decide. What do you want them to do? And then you do it. All right, people will do as you do. Letter B, set the mood and tone. Here it is, align with your pastor. Set the mood and tone. Every song has a lot of different moods and tones. Okay, I could sing Amazing Grace at a funeral service, and people will cry because of the way that it's sung and played, right? I can sing Amazing Grace, and people are just joyful. Oh, the grace of God! And we could also play Amazing Grace and sing it in a way that is very upbeat and very, we feel enthusiastic. You set the mood. Not every song has to be the same. In fact, personally, this is just me, and I do it on purpose, I'll change the mood in the middle of the song. There's plenty of times in our orchestra and the musicians who have since learned me and kind of roll their eyes at me, they know, because I'll look at them. They sit right down here. Our piano is on the side of the platform. The orchestra is right in front of them. And I look. They don't always look at me, but there's one or two that are pretty skilled. They know what they're doing, and they kind of lead the whole group. And I'll catch them because I want to draw something out. But then it feels kind of, I don't want to start the next verse that way. We got to really get with it. I just opened the hymn book. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. And we're holding that out, but then we want to march into it. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Bum, 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 bum. Okay, we can change in the middle, but you've got to know what you're doing. You got to think about it. If you let the piano dictate the tempo and everything else, you're just a puppet. You're just standing up there. Be a leader. Get people to do what you want them to do. All right? Set the mood and tone. Letter C. The song must be in you before it can come out of you. Oh, how true it is. I tell our church this, and I mean it. And some people have taken me up on it, and we're probably worse for it. I tell people, everybody needs a hymn book in their home. I said, if you don't have a hymn book, take one home with you for a week. Bring it back. They don't always bring them back. But I mean it. Take a hymn book, because if you're going to use it, here's what I want you to do. When you read your Bible, I want you to get the hymn book. I'm just opening it. With my whole heart, I humbly seek you. Now use my life, O Lord, I pray. I yield my stubborn will completely. May your commandments light my way. My life, Lord, is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul. I seek your will, never mine, rich treasure to find. You know, the words of the songs have meaning. There are a few songs, very few, but there's a few in our book, and our musicians know. I like the song. I like the music of the song, but we're not going to sing it in church. Because you understand the hymn book's not inspired. And unfortunately, there are some bad theologically written songs. Amen. They're good music. It's a good tune. But I don't want to sing something in church that's going to give someone a bad opinion of the theology of the scripture. Okay? So I'm very careful. There are certain songs where, and I mark them in my book. Maybe I'll put an X over verse number 3. We're not singing that one. Because there's a phrase in it that people get tripped up on and they can't recognize. Because it's not... Again, it's not theologically sound, okay? But it's got to be in you. You need to know what you're singing before it can come out of you. Let's all stand. We're going to sing, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more, but the master up. If I sing it with no thought or word, it may sound good, it may be on time and in rhythm and all that. But the truth is, there's a lot of message in that. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. I had no hope. No hope.
I like to put, because of the word love being so, I love asking, you know, so many different connotations to that.
It's yeah.
Modern culture, I put, Jesus lifted me.
Yeah.
When no one else can help.
Yep.
Jesus lifted me.
I do. Yeah. Same thing. We just sang this. We may have just sung this Sunday morning, Sunday night, this last week. Love lifted me. Hey, second verse, we're changing the word. Christ lifted me. Jesus lifted me. Get the people to think. Now, I would encourage you, again, check with your pastor. I think the song leader needs to do more than just stand up and use the words, take your book, turn to this song, first verse, sing, second verse, sing, be seated. It's okay to stop the song between verses. Hey, church, I want you to look at the next words. Everybody look with me. Read out loud and go through the Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Boy, the man that wrote this song, he was a drunk, he was a terrible, and he got saved, and he struggled with doubt. Look at the words, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave thy God. This man, Robertson, I think is his name, when he wrote this song, he had so many doubts, he wrestled with so many things, he knew he wasn't right with God, he knew he was prone to leave. How many of you have ever dealt with these kinds of things? You start relating this, the message of the song, and the next time you sing it, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave thy God I love. You'll find people begin to relate more. I had a lady stop me after church. She's getting baptized in a few weeks. It was such a sweet testimony this last Sunday. We talked about baptism, and she told me her salvation testimony. She said, you know, It was a year ago. You were preaching, and I went home and I was mad, and I don't know why I was mad. My husband told me, "You know you're lost. You're going to die and go to hell," and she says, "No, I'm not." And she was arguing with her husband because she'd grown up in church, but she never truly got saved. And the Holy Spirit was working on her. You're right. So she got saved. And she's telling me about this, and she wants to get baptized now. She says, we were singing the song just this last Sunday. I forget what it was, but the song, something to the effect, "My life is yours to control," or "Give me Jesus," whatever it was. But she says, it hit me so deep. I just had to put my head down. I was crying the whole song. I wanted to sing with everybody, but I was just crying. You know, that is just as important in the song service as it is at the invitation. Yeah. Who says that decisions have to be made at the end? Why can't people get right with God while we're singing? Set the mood, align with your pastor. The song must be in you before it can come out of you. Letter D. Oh, this is big. Embrace the train wreck. Embrace the train wreck. You say, what's that mean? Well, if you're going to start implementing taking control, okay, something's going to crash. There's a lot of moving parts, and some of you are shaking. You know what leading singing is, okay? You've got a congregation out here. You've got a piano over here. Maybe you've got an organ or another instrument or whatever your church has, but there's usually at least three parts to leading the singing. There's you, there's them, and there's her. I say her respectfully. Somebody often crashes when you change things that are not ready for it. So what do? We embrace it. You just prepare for it. Now, Mr. Leo was very good today to the church. He prepared us, didn't he? He says, okay, the fourth verse, I'm going to give instruction. Yeah. Now, I don't typically do that. I like to just dive into it, okay? We're just going to go for it. Sometimes the pianist may know what I intend to do. Not every time. Not every time. Yeah. I'll tell you, you start doing that, it catches up, okay? But the first one or two times, don't do this on a Sunday morning. I encourage, if you have the opportunity of leading songs Sunday night too, maybe you sing on Wednesday night, whatever you're, find the family service, okay? Find when the church folk are here, not your first time visitor. But there's going to be a train wreck, and it's okay. Embrace it. Find out what you are capable of, what your musicians are capable of, and let the church enjoy it. Mm-hmm. One of the things we sing "How Great Thou Art." Great example. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then we really swell into that last chorus. How great thou art. How great thou! I can't. Okay, there's one more up there. Now, on a good day, maybe it'll come out. But a lot of times, I step back from the microphone. I just point, and there's one or two people in the church that they can hit up there. Okay, find out what you can do. Find out what, and if it crashes the first time. Okay, don't embarrass people. Never, never, never. Okay, I like to tease. I have a good time with our church. We love to cut up. But I'm never going to look at, we've got some of our teenagers that have just started playing instruments, and I love it because they're learning to serve the Lord. And we have a junior high girl who started playing band at her school, okay? So she got an instrument, and we started her out. Just play with us on Sunday night. And Leah started, and she's real nervous, and she'll hit like three notes out of the whole song. You know, she'll get the first one, and she might catch one on the chorus. And it was just play. And then she started getting a little confidence, and we had her on Sunday morning starting to play. And the first time, I don't know if it was nerves, but she just was squeaking every single note. You know how you hear, and you could tell, others are looking, and like a couple of the other people in the orchestra are kind of smirking, and she's just, I'm never going to stand up. Boy, that was how would that make her feel, right? She's never going to come back. So if there's a wreck, guess what? It's on me. It's on me. And, hey, that was so good. I know you didn't prepare for that. I just threw a new song. She did such an amazing. Now, we don't have a big church. Everybody knows what's going on. But it's fine to say she wasn't. I should have given her a heads up on what we were going to do. She didn't know, but she jumped right in. She's doing an amazing. It's fine. Or we can ignore it and let it. But if you're going to acknowledge something, always take the high road, okay? Bring the train wreck upon yourself. Last one there under be a leader. If they are not following, guess what? You're not leading. Yeah, you know that phrase. If they're not following, you're not leading. Sometimes a church will have someone in the congregation that feels God's gift to humanity, and their voice must resonate. They want to be the loud one. They want, and if they want to hold the note, everyone around them is going to hold the note. And you're up here, oh, I didn't know you were holding that. Okay, let's go back. And if they want to sing it fast, they're just going to sing it fast. How many have ever had a, okay, no testimonies now. Sometimes somebody from the pew wants to take control. And that's something we have to work through. It's part of the train wreck. But if they're not following you, it really means you're not leading. If they're following the piano, you're not leading. If they're following the Susie in the third row, you're not leading. So my challenge is you be the leader. Not by force, not by, well, bless God, everybody look at me. I'm God's man up here. No, that's not the, if you have to tell people you're in charge, you're not, right? Okay? You need to embrace the role as the leader and get people to follow. All right, here's some things, some factors to control. And this is important. We're going to run out of time before too long, but I want to give you these factors to control. One, the tempo. The tempo. Okay, the tempo, the rhythm is written within the music. It's the there is a name I love to hear, I love to sing, it's worth, it sounds like music. That's the rhythm. That's a different rhythm than onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. But the tempo is the pace at which you approach that rhythm. Okay, think about the electrical outlets. It's putting out 120 volts. At 15 or 20 amps, all right? The volts are going to stay the same, but a lot of times you can control, you need a 20-amp outlet or a 15-amp outlet. Sometimes we have our 30 amps or the 40 amps, right? Same voltage until you go to 220. You can have the same rhythm or the same rhythm with a different tempo. Oh, how I love Jesus in 6-8 timing, okay? There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing, it's worth, it sounds like music in my ear. Or we can take that same rhythm and put a little different tempo. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus. You can control that rhythm. A little faster, a little slower, a little more. Give that just a swell, or you can brisk through something, right? You control the tempo. Letter B, the volume. The volume. I love what Mr. Lael did. We're going to start the third verse. And when I think that God his son not sparing sent him to die. This wasn't the verse he did it on. I scarce can take it in that on the cross My burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. We can get high, we can get a little quieter. A lot of examples we give on the volume. Don't keep the same volume. What would it be? I know some pastors do this, but what would it be if the pastor, from the moment he starts to the moment he ends, was just at max? Yeah, we've all heard it. Sometimes it's good because it's needed for the sermon, but it's not always. Usually, there's a little bit of this peak and pace of voice, right? And we can be dogmatic. The Bible is the word. Oh, gotcha. And we can also get real down. Some of the best way to get people's attention is to get quiet.
Yep. Silence is deafening.
Silence. And what's a great tool in music? Silence. Bring it up. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. I know that we're thinking, boy, if I do that, people aren't going to know what to do. They will, because they have to look up at you. You got to get them out of the book or off the screen and looking. They'll follow, but you've got to lead. All right, the volume, the emotion, letter C, the emotion. Some songs deserve, in fact, I would say all songs deserve emotion. Some are just happy. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sin forgiven. We can be happy. And then some songs probably deserve a little more reverence. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. I don't know all the words. But it's just a little more, little different emotion, okay? The message, you control, are factors to communicate, not to control, to communicate. You control the message. And I think is there a side note in there? Don't sing words, notes, or verses, sing a message. Maybe that's not in your notes. Don't just sing the words, the notes, or the verses. I tell our choir this all the time. My wife, who is more skilled in music, she knows it and sings it and teaches it and all that stuff. She leads our choir. And she's very good with music. And I say, here's the problem. Sometimes the choir is more concerned with hitting the right note than singing the message. I want the right note, but at the end of the day, that's not what speaks to the heart. The message is. We want to communicate the message of the song. And I'm all out of time, so let me just look at the practice words here real fast, and then we'll dismiss. The prep beat, okay? Here's some practical things. In your books, we didn't talk about the pattern, 4-4, 3-4, 6-8, and all those. But in your book, you look at your measures, right? If the measure, if it starts on the last note, a lot of times that's a typical way of sing the wondrous. Okay, the note before that first word, it's a prep beat. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his. Practice getting people. Sometimes it's the outward. And then we're singing, okay? Get that. That's a prep beat. Gets people ready. The rest, real important. A lot of times you see those little squiggly lines. They're in there for a reason. Rest. The fermata. It's It's my favorite musical, whether it's written or implied. If you know what a fermata is, it looks like the little cap and the comma thing over the top, all right? It means you're holding it, and you can just, ha. Not all music has it written in. If you feel it in there, hold it out. It's okay. And you don't have to come in making sure that, well, it's 4-4 and I held it an extra two beats. Do I have to speak? Just hold it and just restart. Dynamics, decrescendo, crescendo, those little bird mouth things. Get loud, get soft, all of that. The next verse, we're way out of time. Repeated chorus, a cappella. A lot of things I want to say, but if you take nothing else, take this. Control it. Be the leader and get people to sing.